tell me exactly what the infraction was and why there was a settlement like this.
The background on it is after in the closing days of the 2006 race, when all those reports have to be filed, a $1 million contribution was made or showed up as having been made by the RGA to the Perry campaign. And we thought it was a little strange at the time, given the fact that the RGA hadn't participated in the race, given the timing, everything else. RG Ratcliffe apparently had some of the same feelings, and after the race decided to make note of it and track it and check what the RGA filed with the IRS, and learned by going back and tracking back their contributions that just prior to the contribution to Perry being made, that Bob Perry, the developer in Houston, had contributed over $1 million to the RGA. And so it looked like a fairly clever way to funnel Bob Perry's money into the Rick Perry campaign, which would have been fine if all the T's had been crossed and the I's had been dotted. But Buck Wood agreed to look into it, thought there was bound to be some type of explanation for it, but then kept probing, and there wasn't an explanation for it. The RGA was not authorized to contribute money in the state of Texas. They had no treasurer, and the proper forms that have to be filed if you're an out-of-state committee were not filed in this particular instance. And all of the laws in Texas, I mean, I think most of us who have participated in public life would agree that many of the ethics laws in Texas are somewhat lacking. But there has always been a concerted effort to ensure transparency, and all of the laws are designed that way so that an opponent or really any member of the public can find out who's contributing to political campaigns.
Right.
In this particular case, there was absolutely no way for us to find out prior to the election who was really contributing that money to Rick Perry. And that's really the basis of the finding. They claim that Texas law was imperfect. They went as far as they being the RGA, went as far as they could. The judge disagreed. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, our argument basically was, I mean, really what was going on here, if you kind of step back, in the closing weeks of the campaign, some of this is my theory, and,
right.
You know, too, but after the October 6th debate, when the momentum started shifting in our direction, and John O'Quinn gave us originally $1 million, turned out almost $3 million, Perry campaign immediately went on television blasting us for taking all that money from a trial lawyer. And that was a big part of their campaign. Well, O'Quinn had also vowed to give us all the money that we needed. And they had no idea what that meant, and that he might be willing to really give us all the money that we needed. And I think Luis and others have suggested that if he had, you know, it might have been a little bit different, but he wasn't going to just write a blank check. And but they didn't know that. And so I think that a lot of their money was already committed, and they didn't know what that race was going to look like in the closing weeks, and I think they thought they needed to get a little bit more money in the coffers. So the quickest way to do that was through Bob Perry, but I don't think they wanted to be guilty of the exact same thing that they had been banging us with for, you know, several weeks.
Right.
So I think that's kind of the bottom line. So the trial was in May. That's kind of the gist of the argument that was laid out before Judge Dietz, and then he ruled last week.
What do you think the Perry campaign saw that the RGA didn't see? I mean, you know, they decided to settle, RGA decided to fight.
Well, you know, practicing law, I see on a regular basis that people always have different motivations for settling cases. And I don't really know exactly what the motivation of the Perry campaign was. And they weren't required to say. We were set for trial last fall, and that's when we went to mediation. And they opted to settle the case. And I think the other thing that has become clear, and as the columnist has pointed out, because this has been one of the misunderstandings of the whole thing, Ross, why the damages are so high. Well, the damages are statutory, and there's no real discretion there on the part of the court. Right. It's said in law that if an infraction is found, then the damages are twice the amount of the contribution, and both the giver and the receiver of the contribution are liable for that amount. And so, since we were talking about $2 million, then you can kind of...
So you're talking about a million in and a million out, so you're talking potentially $4 million.
But keep in mind, we were alleging more than one infraction. And so it could start adding up.
So at what point did you realize, or you may have just known this, you're a lawyer, I mean, at what point did you realize that the money didn't go to your campaign but went to Chris Bell?
Beckett told me that when we discussed. I was a little bit surprised. Mm-hmm. I've never been in this situation before.
Right, right.
So I never really had to look at it. I guess I kind of knew because there was a guy who, but originally I had no idea. I guess when he told me that, I remember there was a guy who used to run for mayor here in Houston who would turn around and alleged reporting violations and stuff.
Oh, just kind of a moneymaker.
Right.
So, and I guess one of the other things I'm curious about was if this money is, you know, theoretically, or this liability is theoretically sitting on the table, you weren't the only guy who ran against Rick Perry. Were you the only guy who had an action here?
No. Anyone who's a candidate in the race can file. And I think, you know, Carol and Kinky were certainly well aware of it, I believe. It was in the newspaper.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't any big secret what was going on. I think they just maybe didn't research it, or maybe just didn't care to pursue it.
Huh. Okay.
I don't know.
Does it change your feel about the outcome of it?
About the race?
Mm-hmm. Hey, I won the lottery. I lost the governor's race. I won.
Oh, no. The funny thing about it, Ross, I really never had a bad feeling about the governor's race. I've been in that race with the head held high and bright prospects for the future. The only race I really have a lot of regrets about was the state Senate race, because I feel like I've violated a rule that I'd maintained for a long time, and that is, you know, that wasn't really my decision or the office that I had planned to run for or wanted to run for.
Right.
And allowed myself to be talked into it. And I think when you do that and start compromising on what you've kind of set as your standard, then it can lead to disappointment. And so that's the only one that I look back on and say, you know, with really regret that I allowed myself to get into it. The governor's race was a fascinating experience. I wouldn't trade the last month of that campaign for anything in the world. It was like night. I'll admit that the preceding year and a half or so was could be pretty grim at times.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a fascinating, exciting home stretch that I greatly enjoyed. And in the process, got to be a fantastic array of people all across the state of Texas and learn a tremendous amount about the state. So as far as that goes, I don't have any regrets about the governor's race at all. I've never claimed to be perfect, but I have tried to be a champion for ethics throughout my political career. And in this particular case, I think that they really were trying to slide one past everybody. And the law may be imperfect in the way it's written, but I didn't write the law. So researched it and followed it, and that was the judge's decision.
Change gears on you.